Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's program features testimonies by members of summer mission teams sent out by Bob Jones University. The program is moderated by Reverend Mark Vowles.
Good morning. Each summer, a number of mission teams go out from Bob Jones University to various ministries and locations throughout the world. Today in Mission Team Chapel, we're going to hear from several students who were part of teams this past summer. First, we will hear from Andrew Sutherland, who will share with us how the Baltic team was instrumental in bringing souls to Christ. Then we will hear from Slava Starikov, who will explain how God provided financially and in other ways for him to minister with the musical mission team in Europe. Kitami Tate will come next, and she will testify that the Lord used her experience as part of the Far East team to give her direction for her future. And then finally, George Xenophantos will discuss some of the benefits that he and other members of the Africa team experienced as part of their ministry this summer. Before these students come to give testimony, we will hear from a combined choir made up of students and faculty who were part of the BJ summer teams this past year. They are under the direction of Dr. Bill McCauley.
My name is Andrew Sutherland. I'm a senior counseling major, and I was able to go on the Baltic team this past summer. And I've been asked to come talk to you a little bit today about a girl named Olga and the relationship that we were able to build with her. Olga has a last name, but it's a Russian last name, and there are sounds in that name that we don't have English letters for, so we'll just call her Olga. But the basic format of our ministry was that we did camps in Poland, Latvia, and Lithuania. And these camps would start out in the morning, we'd teach English, and then in the afternoon we would play sports with the kids, and then in the evenings we would have services. And Olga had a younger brother named Sergei that wanted to come to English lessons. He got one of our flyers and thought it was interesting, wanted to come learn some English. And she was a good older sister, so she decided to be protective and go with him the first day and just find out what we were all about. Well, she came the first day and really enjoyed it. Ended up coming back every day thereafter, the whole time we were there. And one of my jobs was, during our English lessons, we would have the kids write essays about certain topics. A lot of them were religious topics. And they just saw it as a chance to practice their English. And we would help them. We'd correct their grammar and everything like that. But then it was a really good opportunity for us to be able to talk to them about why they wrote what they wrote. And the first day I graded Olga's paper, I went through it the first time and didn't find anything wrong with it. She was the best student we ever had. She was unbelievable. And so I went back over and over. I was just determined to find something wrong with their paper. Because, you know, I can't have someone on the first day with nothing wrong in their paper. So I found a few very small things. Told her she could work on her handwriting or something like that. And then I started asking her about why she gave some of the answers she gave. And the topic that day was, what do you believe about God? Very open-ended, very basic. What do you believe about God? And she said that she believed that there was some sort of higher power, something that had created the earth. She said, I don't believe the earth just exploded into existence. I believe something created it, but I don't believe that that something is necessarily God. I don't think it's a person. I don't think that they're involved in our daily lives. And I told her, okay, so you're a theistic evolutionist. And she was like, and I said, yeah, that's what you are. And she said, okay. And so I started talking to her, and the first day was, that's about as far as we got. And then that night, as we were sharing prayer requests amongst the team members, I mentioned her name and said we needed to pray for her. And everyone said, well, we'll pray for you as you deal with her. And I was like, oh, okay, she's my responsibility, all right. But as the week and a half that we were there went on, some other members of the team got to talk to her, some as well. Phil Gunn spent some time with her and some other people. And just the whole time, we really didn't, at least I didn't feel like we were getting anywhere. I didn't feel like we were making a whole lot of progress. It was kind of frustrating. I felt a real burden for her, unlike any burden I'd ever felt before for one particular person. I desperately wanted to see her saved, and I just didn't think it was going to happen. And I was able to contact my mother the one time that I was gone for 6 weeks. I was able to contact her, and I had her praying and people in our church praying and all the team members. We made her a matter of daily prayer. Well, the last day that we were supposed to be there was a Sunday. We didn't have our normal routine. We had a service, and she came, and we were a little surprised. And Aaron Bednarski preached that morning. And I was asked to work in the junior church, and I did. I'm not real thrilled about junior church, but it was a ministry opportunity, and so I did it. And after the service was over and the Lord gave me strength to make it through that long and painful hour, I went, and Aaron Bednarski came kind of charging out of the service, and he was looking around for me. He said, hey, you need to go talk to Olga. And I said, why? And he said, well, I gave an invitation and asked for anyone that had received Christ in this past week to raise their hand, and she raised her hand. And he's like, you think she's confused? And I'm like, I don't know, she's incredibly intelligent. This girl speaks five languages, you know. I'm like, I don't think so, but maybe. So I found her, and I was like, Olga, Aaron said that you raised your hand, and she just kind of nodded her head. And I was like, well, he asked for people that had received Christ as their Savior to raise their hand. And she just kind of smiled. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, okay. And so I started going through the plan of salvation. I was like, you know, she doesn't understand. And no matter what I told her about the plan of salvation, she just smiled and nodded. And I was like, man, she's just not getting it. And she was probably thinking, man, he's just not getting it. And so finally she just reached out and grabbed my arm and she said, Andy, I believe what you believe. I believe that Jesus Christ came to earth, that he died for our sins, and that only through him can I go to heaven, that I have no way of doing it myself, but only when I rely on him can I go to heaven. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. And I don't have time. I've only been given a few minutes today, but I asked her, I said, Olga, just real quick, just out of curiosity, what changed your mind? I mean, that first day, you know, she told me, you know, why is your religion better than any other religion? And what makes you think that there is a God and all this? I said, what changed your mind? You never even gave us any hint that there was, you know, a change. And she said, honestly, it was the lives of your team members. She was like, when I looked at the eight of you, I saw that all eight of you were happy all the time. And I said, normal people aren't happy all the time. What is it about these people that's different? And she said, and I thought about the fact that you traveled thousands of miles to come over here and tell us what you believe to be truth. And I thought, man, they must be pretty sure it's true to come all this way to tell us. And I don't have time to tell you the rest of the story. Olga was able to become almost part of our team for a while. She continued traveling with us and did some interpreting for us and was used in a mighty way by the Lord. If you want to hear more about her, find one of the eight team members, and we'd be glad to tell you more. But it was just incredible to me to see that no matter how much I argued with her or talked to her, no matter how much all of us did feel, like I said, spend some time with her, you know, it wasn't anything we said. It was just the fact that there was a joy in our lives that she saw. And it was a real challenge, because I know that we're not always like that. And so I would challenge you today, whether you get to go on a mission team or whether you just go about your daily life, people are watching. And the way that you act really is going to affect the way that they perceive Christianity as a whole in Christ. So just remember that there are eyes out there and they're watching you.
Thank you, Andy. You left me 1 minute. Well, I'm thankful to be able to testify how the Lord has provided financially in order for me to be able to go with a musical mission team this summer. For one thing, I'm a student, and you know, students just don't have money flowing out of their pockets. For another thing, I'm Russian. And for many of you, that doesn't mean a whole lot, but there is one problem with Russian traveling, and that is just about every country outside of the former Soviet Union, well, not even that is true anymore, they require you to get a visa. And visa costs money, and it costs travel expenses, and it costs a lot of things. Time, especially when you're studying. So the Lord really kind of invited me to go with, on the musical mission team. I didn't go at this normal time to volunteer to go for the team. I was traveling with the team already for several times in the past. About five times I have gone to translate for the team in Russia and Belarus. But this time, Dr. McCauley specifically approached me and asked would I consider going full time. And that really was completely unexpected. I never imagined going on the team just primarily because of these paper problems. But Sasha Krychkov, who is also from Russia, traveled the year prior to that, so I thought, well, that is possible now. And so the work on the visas and the work on the money has begun. We had to obtain a new Russian passport because our passport would expire the very time when we're supposed to be traveling with the team, which is not a good time to try to change your passport. And then on top of that, we were required to get 6 visas for the countries that we were traveling in. To make a long story short, the Lord marvelously provided all of the $3,600 that are required just as a sheer fee for the musical mission team. On top of that, the paperwork that I was required to get cost me $1,700. So you add up the figures, it builds up really fast. And that is not even, touching upon just personal expenses, gifts that you want to get for people, and things like that. And so I just have seen the Lord answer prayer. There was a time when there was a really kind of a dead crunch with a deadline that we had to make sure that our passports came in. And it seemed like it's probably going to be it. We're just going to have to bypass doing one plan and go with another plan that puts us into a real time crunch. But the Lord allowed Sasha's passport to come in right on Sunday. So that very Sunday after a church service, Sasha and I, we drove up to Washington, D.C. We, 9 o'clock in the morning, showed up at the embassy, tried to get, the paperwork necessary. Then that took us about 3 hours, and then we showed up to the next embassy that we were hoping to cover that same day in order to not, completely abandon our classwork and everything. But the embassy closed because we were half an hour late. So we decided to stay overnight and show up at that embassy next morning. And we showed up at that embassy next morning just to find out that it was some kind of a national holiday in that country, and they were closed. But the lady was there on duty that recognized us, and she mercifully took our documents, and that just saved us another problem. She issued us the visas and sent us those visas by mail. So that is just one way the Lord answered prayers. And I just want you to realize, especially you American students, most of you are, you just don't realize what a freedom you have merely by the very fact that you are a U.S. citizen. Just about anywhere you can travel, you have a great advantage because most countries will not be suspicious that you're going to go emigrate to that country and want to stay there. Actually, they probably would be glad for you to go over and stay there. But you just need to realize that. Just because you're an American citizen, you have a green ticket to many, many countries that we Russians, for example, don't have. And finally, I just want to give you a personal, little personal touch to this whole thing. One day before I had to go, I had right about $100 on my just for my personal expenses. And $100 for 9 weeks of traveling in Europe is not a whole lot. And so I just thought to myself, I don't think I even really addressed that to the Lord. I just said, you know, it would be wonderful to get another $100 just for personal stuff. And that day, a friend of mine, out of nowhere, out of the blue, came over and gave me $100. It took me about 3 minutes to realize what took place. But the Lord is just gracious, and He is marvelous. And I've seen all this money come in, and the trip went well. And it has been a highlight, a true highlight, to be able to minister in all these countries, to be able to meet with missionaries, with local believers. It has been just a true joy. And if you can, consider going.
My name is Kitami Tate. This summer, I traveled with the Far East mission team to the Philippines, China, and Korea, and Japan. It has been a great blessing to see those missionaries to serve the people so faithfully for the need of the people over there. One of the fascinating things for me to see that we could spend time together to get to know them and also to know their ministries better. I could hardly imagine that how difficult it is to know the people, to adjust the culture and language and also the food. Through this mission trip, I thank the Lord once again that food saved my soul. In the Philippines, one of the pastors came to me and asked, "Are you really a Japanese?" I thought he was joking, but he was not, because he has known many Japanese people, but he has never met a single Japanese Christian in his life. And also in Korea, I met a Korean lady who was working for the Japanese company. And she was so excited to pray with me in Japanese. She had many opportunities being to Japan, but she has never succeeded finding the church for worship. As I traveled, my heart became more burdened. Everywhere we go, the gospel is needed. And every country needs the workers, preachers. Throughout the whole mission team, I could not help thinking about my home. This was a new experience to me. Finally, we arrived in Japan. That was the first, that was the final destination. And I knew that this is it. I could not have same burden for sharing the gospel in any other country as I had for Japan. That does not mean that there is no need or less need to evangelize other side of Japan, but God has given me the personal burden for serving the Japanese people. As I am a Japanese, I know already Japanese language, and I know the people, and I know how they react toward the gospel. I know their mindset. Among 0.5% of Christianity in Japan, God has saved my soul. And now He has led me to the BJ, and this summer He has given me the opportunity to see these mission fields in Asia. My heart was very excited being back home again. 3 years ago, I had left Japan thinking that I will not come back to Japan again. But 3 years later, God has molded my heart and changed my heart. God has given me the burden for Japanese people. This mission trip has clarified my understanding that God wants me to go back to the people, to reach out the people in Japan. I realized that I could not give up my country. I could not give up my people, even though it is hard to reach out the Japanese people with the gospel. But from the faithful examples of the missionaries, people that I have met through this mission trip. I hope to be just like as faithful and patient and loving heart to the people that way I'm going to serve. I pray and I hope that I will not forget the lesson that God has given me through this mission trip.
My name is George Zenofantos. This past summer, I had the privilege of going with the Abrams to Kenya and South Africa. And I just want to share some of the blessings and benefits of going on a mission team. For me, it was the opportunity to see and experience what missions was all about. I got to see a firsthand view of what it was all about to be on the mission field. I got to sweat with those missionaries. I got to be burdened with those missionaries. You know, in the past, I've been a part of Mission Prayer Band. I've seen missionary presentations. I've prayed. I've read about missions. But until I actually went, I had no idea what missions was all about. So that was the benefit and a blessing of for me, is that it showed me what exactly the Lord Jesus is talking about over and over when we read in the Gospels about missions. Another thing is that we as Christians have all been called to the mission of world evangelism. And the question is not so much, Lord, should I be involved in preaching the gospel? But the question is, how would you have me to be involved in preaching the gospel? And for me, I have seen what the Lord wants me to do. And that's the benefit of it. Because going there, you can realize, yes, the Lord's calling me. Or no, He's not calling me. But I see what these people have need of. I see where I need to send my money. I see what I need to pray for. And for me, now I have an inside view of what needs to be prayed for, what needs to be given to those people. And that's the benefit that we can get. We can understand what God's calling us to through going on a mission trip. Not only that, but prayer. There are going to be so many opportunities and prayer requests that are going to come your way as you're a part of a mission team. I mean, you'll be praying for that country, those people, those missionaries. You'll be praying for your own team leaders. You'll be praying for teammates. You'll be praying for yourself, for money, for God to give grace, for God to bless, for God to use you guys. And it occurred to me after a few days while we were in Kenya, I told my team that the Lord is answering so many personal, specific requests for me that I need to start writing them down. And so I did. And by the time I left Africa a few weeks later, I realized that God answered 57 specific prayer requests. Things I would have never prayed for, never saw unless I was part of that team. Another thing is opportunities. I mean, we had opportunities to dig, to paint, to build, to tear down. We had opportunities to preach, to teach. We had opportunities to counsel and witness and testify and sing. I mean, if you want it, it's there on the field. I remember one time I was going to chapel in the morning, and Dr. Abrams stops me and he said, would you like to go preach at the public school? And I said, sure. And he said, well, good, you have about 10 minutes. I had a chance to be in season, out of season, and to go and preach. And it was a blessing to stand before a few hundred kids that and preach the gospel and give them something they may have never heard and may never again hear. Not only that, memories, though. I have a journal full of memories. I have 12 rolls of film that show nothing but memories. I remember a few days before we were leaving South Africa to come back to the United States, I turned to Tim while we were in the van. We used to sing and have a good time on our way to different places. I told Tim, you know, in just a few days, we'll never have the opportunity to do what we're doing right now. We'll never be together singing and ministering together. And lastly, what the Christian life is all about is bringing glory to God. Jesus says in John 15, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And what a privilege to go on the mission field and have an opportunity to bear fruit unto God's glory. I have here one of five letters that I got since I came back from Kenya and South Africa. This is from a Kenyan. And it testifies that the Lord blessed us and used us. In other words, this is living proof that God allowed us to bear fruit for Him. And really, there are hundreds of people in this audience that have been on a team, and they know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, they know the Jumas, they know the Duncans, they know the Daniels, they know all those people. And so my encouragement to you is really consider what the Lord would have you to do. Because it's nothing but a blessing and a benefit. Amen.
Let me just put in a word for just a moment about the Spotlight program. The Spotlight on Missions program takes place twice each semester on a Saturday night, 6 p.m., Stratton Hall. And I want to encourage as many of you as can possibly attend to go and to see in some respect what God is doing in missions and how God might involve you in missions. And I would say that same challenge not only to students but to faculty and staff. These Spotlight programs are put together using a variety of different types of activities and informational technology in order to allow a broad presentation about some particular aspect of missions. And we would very much like for all of the university family to attend a few of those this year. Let me just share with you very, very briefly one scripture passage as we conclude this morning. 2 Chronicles 14, the Bible tells the story of Asa, who was one of the good kings of Judah. Asa was a king that was doing a lot of good things, and the impact that he was having upon the kingdom of Judah was wonderful. The Lord was blessing his life and his rulership. But then in verse 9 through 11 of chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles, the Bible says, "There came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. And then Asa went out against them and set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha and Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against Thee." Here we have a man who faces an almost unbelievable army of 1,000,000 men. And Asa had not perhaps even half that many trained soldiers. And the thing that's interesting to me about this verse, and the one thing that I want us to notice as we conclude here this morning, is that it says in verse 10 that he went out and set the battle in array. That's an amazing statement. Here he was faced with absolutely inconceivable odds, absolutely insurmountable difficulties. And instead of cowering away in the palace, instead of saying, there are 1,000 reasons, literally 1,000,000 reasons why I can't do this, I'm going to go and put the battle in readiness and see what the Lord will do. Essentially, that's what we're asking you to do tonight. Going to the mission field is not a battle, and going to the mission field is not facing 1,000,000 Ethiopians. Going to the mission field on a summer team for many of you may be a very big obstacle. Maybe something that just seems absolutely, incredibly impossible to you at this point in time. Well, set the battle in array. Go and see what the Lord may be willing to do in you and through you. It's interesting, after Asa passed this test, his life was even further enhanced in his relationship with the Lord. And he went on from this experience to do tremendous things for God's glory. And that's always the case with those who go on summer teams. Almost never do you find someone come back who hasn't been changed, who hasn't been better prepared of the Lord for whatever future ministry the Lord puts in their path. So I hope tonight you'll put the battle in array. See what the Lord might have for you. Don't consider for this point in time the obstacles. Think of the glory of going and serving the Lord on a summer mission team. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for each of these testimonies and for each of the teams that went out this summer. What a privilege it is to be a part of that ministry. We thank you for each of the missionaries who were served through these students who went forth, and each of the souls that was saved from each team that was involved on a foreign field. We pray today, Lord, that you will give these students wisdom and direction. May they have boldness and enthusiasm, and at least have a desire to come and find out more. Bless them today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today's program featured testimonies by members of summer mission teams sent out by VJU. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's program, send a check for $7.20 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to ask for the Mission Team Chapel. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.